It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Protection back in the end zone. Hopkins got him there and got him in. Mayfield end zone. Otten touchdown. Tampa Bay. Third down and goal. Mahomes out to his right. Flips touchdown. P. Ryan. Hopkins at the bottom. His way. Touchdown. Kansas City. Fake the handoff, wide open, touchdown Ryan Miller. Has the Buccaneers within 1. Caliendo comes in, he's eligible. Here is Hunt for the touchdown. Kansas City remains unbeaten. 8-0 in a win in overtime.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey-o. I did stay up for a lot of that game.
The whole thing?
Mistake. Yeah, I was actually going to bed when the Chiefs took the lead 24-17. And then, you know, get in bed and check Twitter one last time. And, oh, people are saying they should go for 2. Let me put it on because Tampa has scored. And shockingly, Tampa and Todd Bowles, who is always conservative and another one of these coaches that would just like to extend a game, he did not go for 2, and then he lost on a coin toss. Congratulations.
Don't just assume, though, every time that the conservative guy would tell you not to go for it, because Troy Aikman, who
wanted
was usually
them to
like
go
that,
for it.
Was telling them to go for it.
Yep.
Which was, I saw that this morning. I would have been watching the Manning cast and would have fallen asleep by that point, but Aikman is calling for you to go for 2? Then you know you're really on the conservative end of the coaching spectrum there, so... Whatever. They were going to lose the game anyway, somehow, some way, right? That's just what happens. The Chiefs would have found a way.
Yep.
I woke up this morning to, oh, Mahomes was maybe hurt. Oh, no, he's fine. Oh, the Chiefs were maybe going to lose. No, they didn't. They end up winning. Tampa sucks you in. Or the Chiefs suck you in. They don't beat anybody big. Every game's close.
Everybody's close. Every game's close. They always win. They always win the coin toss. I saw Nick Veronica had this from the regular season. That the numbers on them winning the coin toss are crazy. Absolutely crazy. In
they
the regular
99.9% of their coin tosses.
In their last six overtime games in the regular season.
Yeah.
They played 6. They have won the toss 5 times.
Unbelievable.
They have won the toss 5 times and won the game.
Unbelievable.
Six regular season coin tosses, 6 win and win. Of course, the overtime... No, sorry, the playoffs that happened, 13 seconds, they won the toss and won. And then the next week against the Bengals, they won the toss. They did lose that game.
6 of 7 then, right? And then 7 of 8?
7 of 8. They also did
include the playoffs?
They did lose the toss to Brady.
Okay, 7 of 9.
Right. I think they're
Still ridiculous.
7 of 9 in the era of, if you get it, you win. They are 7 of 9.
Ridiculous.
Yep. Good times. It's... Yeah, last night was not a late flag that ends it. It was a, oh, Mahomes is hurt. Oh, no, he's not.
Mm-hmm.
And are they going to lose? No, they're not. the most annoying team ever. Nothing's ever different.
Well, and now, like, I did see that his ankle was hurt and thought, oh, wait a minute, that could be big because he's scrambling and running around more than ever before because he has nobody to throw. Oh, wait a minute. No, wait, he does.
He does
have someone to throw to now. Yeah. Hopkins looked great yesterday. He looked like prime DeAndre Hopkins.
Yes, he did.
He looked like DeAndre Hopkins of 2-3 years ago in Arizona when he was catching 1,500 yards. He looked amazing.
Also looking amazing, Kelsey. He's fine.
Yeah, and Kelsey looks great.
Turns out when they throw the ball to Kelsey, it works. But Hopkins, yeah, catches in traffic. He looked great.
Getting open one-on-one, outside, inside, using him everywhere.
I do want to say, I think I told you this, or for predicting this game, I told you that if the Chiefs had their best offensive game in a year, we need to chalk it up to the Bucs because the Bucs defense is bad.
Yeah.
And the Bucs defense gives up tons of points, tons of everything. And last night was the first 3-touchdown game Mahomes has had in more than a year.
Yeah.
So
I have to stop putting my list together of all the quarterbacks that have had more 3-touchdown games recently.
But Kelsey and Hopkins, 186 for 2 touchdowns combined, the two of them. 186 and 2 touchdowns on 22 catches.
Yeah.
Did everybody eat in that game? Sorry, we're not doing that anymore. Anyway.
They still only scored 24 points in regulation.
That's like, right. That's
like,
right.
Bad defense, your weapons were cooking, and you still only got the 24. Like, I don't know. I could try to spin it positively in that. Aren't we already in this mode with the Bills a little bit too, where the division is wrapped up, where, okay, like, none of this really matters in comparison to what's going to happen in January. Right. And all of this is just trying to figure out, hey, this sign and this sign, what's going to happen when you get to January? And who looks more impressive in their games? Don't worry about how the games end. Who looks more impressive when they're on the football field? Do the Chiefs? Because they struggle every week, no matter how good or bad their opponent is.
Yeah.
They struggle.
The Bills struggle in half of their weeks. Did they struggle this week? Yes.
Yeah, they did.
They were down 10-6.
They did.
They struggled this week. They struggled against Tennessee early. The Bills have like a half game of struggle.
Right. When they put the throttle down, it's like,
yeah, usually they're fine.
They can run away with it.
Whereas the Chiefs, I mean,
they haven't run away with any of them.
No. And last night's a Bucs team that has no Mike Evans and no Chris Godwin.
And they've played the Raiders. They've played the Saints. They've played, they've played bad teams.
You had guys catching touchdowns last night for the Bucs. You have to Google them. Who?
The Miller guy.
Ryan Miller?
I thought it was
Scotty. Out of retirement.
I thought it was Scotty Miller at one point.
Not Scotty Miller.
It's not him.
Then there was another guy, Garrett. Some guy named Jarrett?
Jarrett. Because my buddies in my group chat were wondering, is it possible that Dwayne Jarrett is still in the National Football League? Which, of course, he has not been for like 10 years. I didn't know who that was either. I knew who Sterling Shepard was.
Yep.
But how many people that don't play like, you know, the deepest of fantasy football leagues ever like I do would have been watching that game yesterday going, is Sterling Shepard still in the National Football League, huh? A lot of people would have learned Sterling Shepard is still in the league. And maybe Kay Dotton's a pretty good tight end, by the way.
Rakeem Jarrett is the one. That's
Rakeem Jarrett. Yeah.
If you've got him in fantasy, holy cow, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
I'm
in some deep leagues.
Rakeem Jarrett had 4 career catches going into the game and had 4 catches last night, I believe. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm in some deep leagues, but not that one. All I'm saying is, like, I don't know. They look beatable. If they're 8-0, but anyone like afraid, like to the point of, oh, you're never beating them.
Yes.
You're not beating the Chiefs.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I am the opposite way. I think every week of football they play, I am more confident the Bills can beat them in January.
I'm sure the Bills can, but fearful of them? Definitely.
It's not the 07 Patriots to me. It's not like this historically good Chiefs team that everyone get out of the way. They're on their way to their third straight Super Bowl. I think every week they look beatable.
I think every year we say that.
I don't know about every year.
Go check their results from last year. What did they do last year?
Last year was different than the other years.
They were so bad, they had to go on the road twice.
Right.
The year before, what was their margin of victory the year before? 6-3, 8-1, 2-6, 8. They lost to the Colts. This is them every year. They're the most boring team in the world.
But the year before, like, it's different. Mahomes is throwing for 400 yards 4 times that season.
Okay, but
360, 350, like, just...
What are their margins of victory over mediocre teams?
I know, like, there are those games in there, but...
Every year.
I think last year was different than the other Chief years, and this year looks similar to last year.
I think this year.
And I think they got some breaks. I think they got some incredible defense along the way, and I'm just not one that subscribes to that is going to win you championships year after year after year. You've got to do it on offense, and they looked better on offense yesterday.
They look better on offense.
Do it against a team that's better than Tampa on defense.
They look better on offense in the way that the Bills look better since they got Amari Cooper. The DeAndre Hopkins Chiefs are different than the Chiefs before them. They are a different team now because of Hopkins. Because, I mean, yesterday he goes off on the Bucs, and like I said, the Bucs give up points to everybody. So I want to, I do want to hold on to that.
I want to see what they do against Denver next week.
But now, what's going to happen next week? Now that Hopkins gets more attention, I mean, Worthy didn't have any points in this game. He had like minus one fantasy. But
yeah, thanks for that, Worthy. He should have had a touchdown.
He should have had a touchdown. But you know what he did have? I saw multiple plays, like next-gen stats, where he's running clear-out routes and three defenders run with him, and Travis Kelce catch the pass underneath, wide open.
Mm-hmm.
So the structure of their offense, last night at least, looked great. Looked great. And they still are without Pacheco, who is way better than Samaje Perine and way better than
Hunt.
Kareem Hunt.
Yeah,
I mean,
yep.
I can't believe it. Hunt. I was thinking about last night. He was there forever ago, left in disgrace, and is just back.
Yeah,
the Chiefs. They're the most annoying team. Nothing new ever happens.
Did you guys see DeAndre Hopkins remember the Titans touchdown?
I did see that. Appreciated that very much. I didn't catch that. That's what it was right away. Like, he scores the touchdown, and all of his teammates start doing a thing with him, and I'm thinking, like, oh, you know, I guess good for them. And I didn't realize it until someone posted the video of Remember the Titans and the touchdown dance, and then that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Good for him. Hopkins.
He looks good.
All that talk about, you know, him going somewhere to win.
Yep, and he looks, I mean.
And how about the fact that, like, Joe, 2 years ago, people tried to say, oh, he's washed.
Yeah.
And he played in Tennessee for 2 years. I mean, this would have been the second year.
He did have, I mean, he had 1,000 yards last year.
Yes.
In Tennessee
with Will Levis.
Will Levis and Tannehill for half a year, right?
It's, you know what? You know what right now? Like, if the Chiefs win it with Kelce and Hopkins, which they very well could, it will be a reminder that not everyone should get hung up on age. And it should come down to, is he good? We just kind of assume guys are washed when, how old is he? At 32. Pfft, I'll see you later. He can't play anymore. Like, Hopkins can play. And Kelce, at the start of this year, it was, I say this as someone that hasn't been fantasy in like every league or every redraft. I was heavy on Kelce this year. Like, oh, he must be shot. And then a couple people did a deep dive. Like, actually, they're just not throwing to him as much as they used to. What do? They start throwing to him. He's fine.
Mm-hmm.
He looks 10 years younger right now, Kelce.
It's 16 targets last night.
16 targets. This is the most annoying team ever.
Mm-hmm.
And some of you out there, you insane people at training camp, have said to me, you're okay if they win it, if the Bills don't, because then it's just them and not Lamar and not someone else in the resistance here against the Chiefs. The rest of the AFC is in resistance to this team, and nobody beats them. It's time. I need it to happen.
I think it's going to happen. You're not with me on that, but I'm not predicting it won't.
Yeah. I'm not going to sit here like Lucy and Charlie Brown with a football and be like, you know what? I think this is. I'm not going to predict it. Why would I predict it? They've been banged up. They're looking healthier and better, and they have made two moves at the deadline to get better, Uche and DeAndre Hopkins. Today's another day for the deadline. We'll see where teams make some moves. Brandon Browning of the Denver Broncos got traded to the Arizona Cardinals. He's an expiring free agent, pass rusher, linebacker, so.
Like, I'm going to spend the day. I'll see if this even ends up happening. I'm going to spend the day looking up that Steeler team that went 11-0 like 4 years ago with Ben Roethlisberger as like a comparison to this football team. Just how often you're winning these close games against subpar football teams. Even yet, like, that's part of yesterday, too, for me, is like, even with Hopkins and Kelce looking great and their offense looking healthy, it's a completely depleted Tampa team, and they took you to overtime. If Todd Bowles goes for two, then you might lose that football game. Might, I know. Might.
Right.
But like that, they should have won that game by 45. They should have never been in that football game. It should have looked like the Bills-Jaguars game. And it never does. It never looks like the Bills-Jaguars game with them anymore.
Why do you apply that it should have looked 45 to nothing or whatever to Chiefs-Bucks but not to Bills-Dolphins?
To Bills, well...
Why shouldn't the Bills have won by more? They needed a 61-yard kick to beat Miami.
Yeah.
Why don't they get that treatment?
I mean, who was missing more, though? The Bills or the Dolphins in that game? Like, Tampa's missing everybody. They're missing pieces on defense. They had linebackers going down in that game yesterday as well. Just as we mentioned, there's guys we've never heard of that are playing offense for them.
But this is the same. Like, it feels like another... And this is where we get to, like, everything matters once we get to January.
Yeah.
Look at last year's point differential. Didn't the Bills have a better one?
They almost do every year.
The Bills are a team that excel at blowing teams out in the regular season. And the Chiefs are a team that always wins close games.
Yeah.
And I can't explain it. I don't know why that happens.
That's why I want to believe there is still regression coming on that, because for every other team in football, there is. Every other team in the league history, you win that many one-score games, there is regression coming. The Bills, it was positive regression, right? Didn't they have a stretch a couple years ago where they lost like 9 in a row?
I feel like...
Maybe it wasn't that bad. One-score games, they lost a bunch in a row.
Lost a bunch.
And then it happened. It regressed the other way.
Sure. I feel like you're looking for, you know, Dominic Hasek's save percentage is .940. There's going to be regression coming. Like,
I know.
Okay.
I know.
Have fun waiting.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Sometimes it's just so like...
I can't wait for it.
Yeah. Jordan.
I'm not even saying you're wrong. I'm saying I just won't let myself believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. I look forward to the playoff game in Kansas City when the Bills go there and it comes down to the last minute.
Right.
That's what we've got.
It's going to come down to
that. It's horrible. Yeah. It's like no matter what happens, we know that I could probably even pull up the date for you. We're going to know what the date is, right? January 19th. Go ahead. Plan it now. January 19th. When's the Super Bowl? Is it
at what time? Because it's going to be a 4 o'clock game?
January 19th
at like 7.
At 6:52 p.m.
6:52.
There'll be 1 minute left in Bills Chiefs, and that's what everything we talk about will come down to. I hope you're all ready for it. Like, that's it. That's our life.
Yeah.
See you next year on January 23rd or whatever day it is at 3:15 p.m. or 3:45 because it's moved to the early game. Every week, every year, all the same, the stupid Chiefs. They're awful. I hate them. Not enough of you hate them.
Mm-hmm.
Too much of this, I respect them. We got to get over that. We got to ditch that. There needs to be pure, unadulterated sports.
Well, haven't they beat the respect in everybody?
Not sure, I guess. Everything they do works.
Yeah.
803-0550 to join us. It is Tuesday. We got a big show coming up today. We'll talk with Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff at 8 o'clock. The Sabres play Ottawa tonight. Don't ask. We'll get to that. I'm not emotionally prepared to talk about the Sabres just yet. There's news coming on Keon Coleman's wrist. They're evaluating imaging. That's something to watch. Of course, if he's going to miss time, that's terrible news.
Which could matter because today's deadline.
It is the deadline. Dwayne Smoot's going on IR for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
So that are they going to add some help in the defensive end department? I would predict that they do.
Yeah.
There are going to be, I think there'll be a flurry of trades today in the NFL. I'd put the over-under at like 6 because there are 9 teams with 2 wins.
Yeah.
And they're going to make some trades.
Do you know a similarity between Dwan Smoot and a guy that's available today that you mentioned yesterday? Dwan Smoot this year has played mostly defensive end, but a good amount of snaps inside also. Like, he's one of those big, versatile guys that can play anywhere on the line. It's exactly the same as Calais Campbell. Calais Campbell is bigger, and Calais Campbell is maybe better, but they are the same thing.
Perfect, perfect idea. Huge. Setting the edge is really important. It's what the Bills really need in the run game. So, whatever. It's deadline day. We'll talk with Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports, at 9 o'clock. He posted a number of names at defensive line, safety, linebacker. The Bills have some room to make moves here.
We should talk about receiver too. If Coleman's going to miss time, I'm going to feel like they should go get, even if it's a lower level fifth, sixth round pick trade, they should go get another receiver.
It's funny you mention that. So I've got a comparison I want to work up, and we'll get to a call here in a moment because I'm not ready to dive all the way into this. But the division being as over as it is kind of presents the Bills with a problem. It's not a bad problem. It's just it's something to navigate. And what I mean by this is, Joe, you watch Premier League soccer, you watch international soccer. When you have a team going for the league title,
yeah,
but also going for the Champions League.
And you have to
And you have to decide, well, which one should we go all out for? Both?
Yeah.
Or should we make sure we get to one finish line?
Right.
Because if the Chiefs, let's say the Chiefs win here in 2 weeks, and their lead for the one seed is 3 games, the Bills should bail on the one seed. They should 100%, as people will call and say about load management, they should 100% say, that race, if it comes back to us, that's fine. But we have to make sure we're keeping people healthy. I mean, this is blasphemy, but 3 games left in the season, Josh Allen plays a half against New England.
Okay, because you're going further. Like, I was about to say, like, I think they've already done this, maybe. Cooper and Benford, they called, like, 50-50.
Didn't play them.
And held them out of a divisional game in the middle of the season.
Good. That's what...
But you're going further than that. I mean, if you're pulling Allen out in week 14...
If you want to tell me that Josh Allen gets a maintenance day in New England, fine. Period. Like, if...
I would love that.
Once that race is gone,
yeah,
the Bills have to act accordingly. And we'll see. Paul in Akron, we're talking Bills Chiefs, I guess. Hey, Paul, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Funny how the Chiefs win another one last night, and we're all a little upset again.
I'm always upset when they win.
Yeah. But I wanted to get your opinion on our style of defense and the way that Miami just moved the ball on us in the second half and it going up against that Kansas City defense or Kansas City offense, I mean, with Hopkins and Kelce now in 2 weeks. I mean, I'm concerned about that. I mean, I really am. They're going to be able to move the ball, I think, up down the field on us. And then our offense is going to have to, match whatever they do. And Kansas City's got a good defense, so I'm a little worried about the style that we play. We'll let them have that stuff up front because they'll take that all day long. Andy Reid will be, you're going to give me 5? Here, 2. Here's Kelce, take it. So I just wanted to get your guys' opinion on that. So have a good morning.
Thanks, Paul. We're grabbing something for a little bit later from Taron Johnson on this point because – of course, like the Bills' run defense, they want to be better than they were on Sunday against Miami. But Taron Johnson in the locker room this week said it, and we'll play it for you a little bit later after the break when we grab this audio. He said, we want them to run.
Mm-hmm.
That is the Bills' identity. We want you to run. And Miami had a, finger quotes here, great day running the football. But on all the runs that Miami had, they had a negative EPA per play. So what you're doing as the Bills is you're saying, I know that Hill and Waddle can destroy me if I let them. And I don't think their run game will. And the Bills have done this as a philosophy for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's why whenever we're talking about something that I'm a little concerned about blank, isn't 9 times out of 10 that answer the run defense? That is a choice. It's what they want. They want you to run it. The same way that the COVID era game here when Mahomes came in and they dared the Chiefs to run it, and they did, and they kept it kind of close. That's a Bills team that probably wasn't ready to compete with the Chiefs, but they kept it close.
Mm-hmm.
That is the Bills' identity is we want you to run it, and even if you run it well, we think we'll be okay.
And you're not going to get us to break.
And like, the only team so far that's really broken them on that on a level they might have to change it, which almost never happens, Baltimore did.
Right,
Baltimore,
they started using 3 linebackers a little bit.
Right.
Which is a lot. The Bills never come out of
the nickel. Baltimore have come out of that like 5 times in McDermott. I'm sure that's over-exaggerating it. But there's the Baltimore game. There's the New England wind game.
Yeah.
When they ran it every play but 3.
Yeah.
They put Dorian Williams on the field. So part of that is
there was like a Colt game, right? With Wentz.
Jonathan Taylor, maybe.
It's like once or twice a year, maybe.
Yes.
Though.
Okay, fine. We'll put another linebacker on the field. And there are teams where if you do that against the Chiefs, good luck. You're in trouble, right? Like you need Taron Johnson on the field. So it's Joe Marino who joins us on Wednesdays. We'll talk to him tomorrow. If you could, I'd always recommend listening to the podcast, the Locked On Bills podcast, because he basically said about this idea that once you can get yourself to accept that sometimes they're going to get run on, because it's what they want, your Paul, like your level of concern about the run defense, I mean, you still want it to be better, but it'll be a little bit dampened because you know that's what the Bills want. We want you to do that. We want you to hand the ball off. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. It's 100% how they probably will approach Mahomes again. Light boxes, we want you to run it. Especially now that, you know, the Bills are going to be afraid of Worthy. Even though he's not putting up big numbers, they're going to follow him over the field, make sure they don't go over the top. And I bet you when the Bills and Chiefs play that Xavier Worthy is pulling the Bills' defense down the field on every play. Like, they know. If you're playing the player, you're playing the game, if Andy Reid's getting ready for Sean McDermott, what's he going to say? Every time we run Worthy deep, they're going to send two guys. They're going to make sure they don't give that up, and we're going to beat them the other way. Or at least try. The Chiefs.
I hate them.
I know. I'm mad already. Another coin toss. All right.
Another. There was a no flag on a false start late in that game, I guess. So yep, you didn't get your flag that went the Chiefs' way, but you had a non-call go their way. It's the normal. Juwan Taylor. He's jumping 3 seconds before the snap again, I guess.
Yep.
They're the worst.
Terrible. 803-0550. A valiant effort for Baker Mayfield. Your coach should have gone for two, just like Mike McDaniel should have gone for two. It is. By the way, one rule change could actually make that happen. We'll get to that. You want it right now?
No, tease it.
One way to improve both overtime and the ends of games, like the Bills, Dolphins, and Chiefs, Bucks. Next.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
So they have really great weapons on the outside, so kind of like playing, like kind of them, letting them run the ball, if I would say, you know what I'm saying? Just not giving up explosive plays. I mean, we still gave up, I think, too many, but making sure we limit those explosive plays.
Taron Johnson, letting them run the ball? That's what the Bills' defense is built for. Light boxes, let them run the ball. So part of why teams can occasionally run well against the Bills, the Bills invite it. And, of course, we'll see if they make any moves today. It's deadline day. Jeremy and Joe, it's also election day. Go vote. And we'll take more of your phone calls. 803-0550. Lindy Ruff at 8 o'clock. The Sabres play the Senators tonight.
Howard did tweet from voting line and said that the discussion is about how lucky the Chiefs are. That's what he's currently doing. He's doing the show from the voting line.
Howard is?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Isn't that what everybody's waking up this morning and doing? Listen, maybe not how lucky they are, but
I hope the voting line moves fast enough, or else Howard's going to have to pick the Bills while picking someone to vote for. Like Howard picks the candidates and also Howard picks the Bills. That's coming up, you know, today.
He really should just have a YouTube channel where he just picks things.
Yes.
Everything.
That'd be a good idea. 803-0550 on the Chiefs last night, and DeAndre Hopkins, two touchdowns, the state of the AFC, Bills-Colts this weekend. The Colts had their worst game of the year this past week against the Vikings. And let me tell you, like, one thing about Colts-Vikings versus Colts-Bills that's different, The Vikings this year blitz like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That is a Brian Flores thing. They blitz like crazy. And the Bills kind of don't, right? It's not really a McDermott thing to blitz a lot.
Right.
So let me get you a blitz percentage here. Minnesota, 38% of dropbacks they are blitzing. That's number one in the NFL.
Yeah.
The Bills are third from the bottom, 16% they blitz.
The Colts are also one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL this year.
Yep.
They are very bad at defending the pass. So, you know, if you're going to be missing weapons, this is an opponent where... Kind of maybe reminiscent of Jacksonville. The Bills did not have Amari Cooper in that game. And Coleman didn't even play for, what, the whole first quarter?
Yeah.
And they still went off against the Jaguars through the air. The Colts are one of those teams where you might not even need your full fleet of weapons and you can still torch them.
803-0550. Bills by a billion writes in, Casey is the Pats of the 2000s. All the annoyance, but not all the talent. I think they've got tons of talent. The difference is that now we care. Now we're invested. The 2000 Patriots, we were just, you know, on the side of the road watching them maul other teams.
Yeah.
And now the Bills are the ones that have taken it the wrong way a few times. Hopefully this year is different. I can't have an NFL where every year is the same season. At some point, this has to change. I don't want another year of, oh, that really good team in Kansas City that only plays home games at night in prime time. They squeaked out a couple more, and what you know it, they won the Super Bowl again. Who could believe it? It's boring. Sometimes they say, who could have written this script? The answer to this one is, anybody that wrote this script would be fired. The script stinks.
Yeah.
They should lose sometimes. They're 8-0. Jay in Washington, D.C. Hey, Jay.
Yeah, how you doing, guys? Joe, like, first of all, I'm an Eagles fan. I've called y'all before, you know what I'm saying, you know, rooted for y'all to beat the Chiefs. But I just don't see how, Joe, you could say that you're not afraid of the Chiefs. The Chiefs are never scary. Like every year, they you know, they win 14 games, or besides last year, but they just win because they play close to the vest, and no team knocks them out. You know what I'm saying? Like with a Mike Tyson, no team just, you know, Al Davis. Sometimes in the first part of that game, the quarterback got to go down and he got to go down hard. Nobody ever does that to them, except for Tampa Bay. In the Super Bowl, they're the only ones in 2020. But nobody else, you know, does that to them. And you did bring up a good point. Now, I don't watch the Kansas City Chiefs play because I don't want to keep seeing that singer and stuff like that, and I'm just annoyed by that team. But it do seem like they never play any road prime time game. And I'm going to tell you why they win the coin toss all the time. I believe the ref comes to them with a coin that has the same thing on both sides of the coin, and tells them, you know what I'm saying? That's how they win the coin toss all the goddamn time. So is a coin with either two heads or a coin with two tails? And me personally, they already locked up home field advantage. Baltimore, you know, basically gave away home field advantage because they lost to two bad teams, the Raiders and the Browns. And I just don't see nobody coming as good as Detroit from the NFC. I wouldn't favor the Lions to beat Kansas City because – you know the game's going to be tight, and you know Kansas City is going to pull it out. They're going to win three in a row. I'm sorry. I mean, it's just going to happen. They're going to win three in a row. They might go undefeated and win three in a row. I just have no confidence that anybody could beat them.
Thanks, Jay. I don't think they'll go undefeated, and I think the Bills very well could beat them here in 2 weeks. And if they do, you know, listen, I'm mad today because they won in overtime like they always do, and it's boring. But if they lose to Denver next week, which you might have thought was more likely before Denver got smacked around by Baltimore.
Yep.
But that's a division game. If they lose to Denver, all of a sudden, if the Bills beat the Colts, you're now playing for the one seed. Could Detroit beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl if that's the matchup? Yeah, I think Detroit could beat anybody. Detroit beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, me too.
They beat the Chiefs last year. I mean, we'll see about Detroit and the Bills, who wins that game. But, you know, that's there are a couple teams where, you know, they're explosive and the Bills are going to invite the run. And a couple teams might be qualified to beat the Bills like that. The Chiefs, the Ravens. I would add the Lions to that list.
Yeah. Yeah, I would too, for sure. They're number one in everything right now. Point differential, DVOA, anything you look at, Detroit's like the best team in the league.
So,
and on like, You know, like why they don't. I wouldn't even say that they don't fear. I don't fear them at all. I just don't fear them any differently than in past years when they wouldn't have been 8-0.
Oh, I agree with that.
Like, to me, the record, the undefeated record, doesn't change anything for me. And if it's a direct comparison to the Bills, like, to make some excuse for them, I guess, on one front, like, I'm no less confident the Bills could beat them because I've seen them beat them. And yes, it was the regular season. I also saw them completely duff a game against them in the playoffs that we all know about. And then last year, again, like this is really where you make excuse for them a little bit. I don't know how that game goes if you're healthy because you're down to your fifth string linebacker in that football game. You have backup linebackers in, and not to say it wasn't a real game, but I think that game goes very differently if you even have backups in there, let alone fourth stringers. So I'm not saying that Bills would automatically win that football game. I'm just not thinking that there's that much difference between these two football teams right now, and the record would tell you there's a little bit of a gap.
I completely agree with all that. Like, I don't think the Chiefs are much different than they've been any other year. I'm not looking at them because they're unbeaten. For me, it's more, I've just seen this movie so many times, I'm bracing myself. So the rule change I teased before the break. First off, the coin toss has always been the problem.
Yeah.
And it is still a problem that overtime has a coin toss. Even in the playoffs now, where you guarantee possessions, okay, one team scores a touchdown, the other team scores a touchdown, the other team gets the ball now. Like, that's still not equal. It's still the coin toss is the problem, and always has been to me. So here's my rules, my modest rules proposal. Overtime possession should be predetermined.
Overtime possession predetermined. Before the game.
It should be a format.
Yeah.
Road teams get it. Boom. End of story. Road teams get the ball in overtime.
Yeah.
If you are on the road and you've earned overtime, you get the ball. Now, as the home team, you go in knowing that. You want to go the other way? What about if we make it home field advantage? Okay. Home teams get the ball in overtime. I don't care which one it is. But if it's predetermined and locked in the same way that, you know, the bottom of the ninth comes after the top of the ninth. If I know who's getting the ball to start overtime, I will change the regular regulation. What would have happened if the Chiefs, I'm sorry, if Todd Bowles knew the Chiefs are going to have the ball to start overtime, would he have gone for two? I believe he would.
I bet. If he didn't, most coaches would.
Most coaches would.
Most coaches would go for two.
I mean,
two.
The Bills and Dolphins did not go to overtime. It nearly did.
Yeah.
If Mike McDaniel knew the Bills are going to get this ball to start overtime, would he go for two?
Right.
Yes.
A tie suddenly
is less.
Is just, yeah. Way less valuable.
I've hated the coin toss for decades.
Yeah.
I believe that is still the original sin of all the overtime conversations. Mm-hmm. And while they've done good work to lessen the, strength of it, it still exists. And here are the Chiefs in the regular season in the last 4 years, 6-0 in overtime with 5 coin toss wins.
It's insane.
So, that's my answer.
I like that.
Tie possession into a formula that's very, very easy. Home team gets the ball. That way, you're driving for the Bills are up 3. Miami is driving. Do they want to kick a field goal? Well, if they force overtime, the Bills get the ball, they would go for it. Now, the NFL might not want that because they probably like overtime. Then again, they put 10 minutes on overtime, and then it's a tie. If the Chiefs had fumbled the ball on that possession, the Bucs would have gotten the ball with 4 minutes left at their own 2.
Mm-hmm.
Overtime's almost over. Anyway, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. It is Tuesday. It's trade deadline day here on WGR. You can give us a call. We'll get more phone calls in. Get some trade names out there. Lindy Ruff at 8, Chris Trapasso at 9, and a new segment we need your help naming at 7:30. Happy Tuesday, trade deadline day in the NFL. My search for what time that deadline is, I spent like 3 minutes on that, and I didn't find
four o'clock.
It is 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
Okay, good. Yeah. That seems like the general deadline time on deadline days.
I think it's because any day transactions have to be in by 4 for like the league office or something. So that's like a universal thing for them.
Are they like a bank? We close at 4. We're getting out of here.
I think so.
I don't care who you traded for.
Right.
I left.
Yeah.
All right. Johnny in Buffalo quickly. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, guys. Good morning. You know, I actually fell asleep at the end of that game last night, unfortunately. But I wake up this morning, see it went to overtime. And just a little confused. Like, why did they not go for 2? You've lost, you know, 2 straight games. You've lost Godwin and Evans for the season. And you're a 9-point road underdog in non-conference spot, and you're just kicking an extra point. They proved that they couldn't stop the Chiefs all second half except for the one drive they were trying to kill the clock. Other than that, the Chiefs went on 2 drives that were, I think, both over like 7 minutes long, the entire length of the field, and moved the ball without problem in the second half to score their touchdowns. And you're kicking, you're taking a 50% play or over 50% play on average in the NFL going for a 2-point conversion, and you're putting it to a 50-50 coin toss at Arrowhead against Patrick Mahomes. It's just, I don't understand how some of these coaches still make these horrific decisions.
Yeah. Well, they want to keep games going.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't lose it now, you haven't lost it yet. But even with the extra point moved back to the distance that it is, I'm surprised. Brian Daboll went for 2 in Tennessee opening day 2 years ago. And
yeah.
I can't think of how many other guys have done it in that spot. These coaches play for overtime.
But 4 times this week, coaches had the opportunity to do it, and all 4 decided to kick the extra point.
And how they do.
And all 4 lost. But all 4 lost.
All 4 lost. End of story.
ESPN Analytics, I guess, said in their article that they agreed with the decision to kick the extra point in all 4 instances.
But part
so
of the reason,
numbers play, I guess, is it. But like, it's so close. Like, it's within a percentage point.
Part of the reason I saw this, because Seth Walder, I think, had this. Part of the reason the numbers call it a coin flip, by the way. Really close. Like,
yeah.
1%.
And that's not why Bulls did it. Bulls said post-game, quote, "We wanted to get into overtime because of the wet conditions on the field."
Okay. What? All right.
That's what he said. That's what he said, because the field
everybody
was wet.
Everybody knows that's better.
Yeah.
The thing is, if it were 1 point the other way, no coach would have done it. It's kind of like every one of these 4th down calls, like, this is a close call. Nobody ever goes way far into the aggressive side, or very rarely. Anyway, these teams, you laid it out perfectly. Non-conference, 10-point underdog, basically, on the road, Kansas City. You just tied the game. Part of what Seth Walder said about the numbers, Joe, was that if you take the lead, you make the team getting the ball, going for the field goal, using all 4 downs. They're not playing for overtime. Like, the Chiefs didn't win right away. There were 19 seconds left. The Bills went for it, and they got it. It's tied. If they're down 1, are they going more? Whatever. I don't really buy that.
Harbaugh goes for this a lot.
Yeah.
He's one of the coaches that does this. John Harbaugh.
Yeah. All right. More of your phone calls. On the Bills, the injury front, the trade deadline. Let's talk about trade ideas, where this team needs help. 803-0550 on WGR.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.